Hey Potters, welcome to episode 1 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay and costuming. Oh my god, Project Akon is coming! Ah! That's pretty much been the theme now for the last 2 weeks around Casa de Cosplay and pretty much all of our other friends.
Casa de Cosplay? I didn't know that we had upgraded to a casa.
Well, yeah.
When did this happen and why wasn't I invited?
You have been invited. You've just been busy.
Yeah, I have been busy.
You've been prepping for another con.
Yeah. That I may or may not even go to. Con.
So much con prep, so little time, as is always the case right before you get to a convention and you're frantically working on cosplay.
Exactly.
So for those who do not know, this is going to be the Akon preview episode, but before we preview Project Akon, we will also be covering some cosplay in the news because, of course, the cosplay community cannot go without drama for more than a couple weeks at a time, and things blew up within the last 2 weeks since we recorded last, so we will be talking about those things. But
most
first,
definitely.
And there are some things we will not be talking about. But first, we have cosplay updates. What we have been working on fast and furiously for the last few weeks. I see you have stuff in the background that is lace that I think is made of felt.
It is lace made of felt. Look how pretty that is. Pretty, 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 pretty. I made that in last weekend. So this is the Val Pulled the Stupid project. This was a dress that I had initially made 5 years ago, I want to say. I think I made this like 2009, 2010. I was bringing this out because my brother wanted to do Ace Attorney cosplay at Fanime. I was like, cool, I still have all the pieces. I just need to upgrade a couple of parts, like all the accessories, not the dress itself. Cool. Went searching through my closet. Where did my dress go? Kept searching through all my bags and my things that I've moved around. Where did my dress go? I don't know what happened to the original dress. I think I may have accidentally thrown it out. So I had to make a brand new dress, and there's the new dress. Yay. It's pretty much exactly the same as the old one. It's just fitted a little bit better since I have grown-ups in the last 5 years and my body has changed shape. Woohoo! But yeah, the lace itself, the faux lace, it's a fun little technique that I did on the first dress, and I can't remember who suggested it to me. It was either Tamlin Creations or Meow About Cosplay. It's one of those two ladies where they said, you know, why don't you use felt to make the design and then you can use like organza or something as the background piece. And I was like, that's brilliant because this is such a cartoony look with the lace. It needs to be very big and opulent and very easy to see on the camera that makes perfect sense. So yeah, it's faux lace with home decor felt, which makes it fancy. Lots of quotation marks. So many quotes.
For those who are listening to the podcast and not watching, Val is very valiantly making air quotes repeatedly.
So many of them. But hey, it works. It's very distinctive and on her outfit. Otherwise, it's just a simple white sundress. So it's like, that's about as anime as it's going to get. Other than that, I've just been working on a bunch of accessories for said costume. This would be one of them. This is for my brother's Godot costume because he wears this very big, funky mask that goes with stuff. And then this weekend has been all about wigs and accessory work. This is one of the wigs that I've been working on, and craft foam for the win, by the way. Craft foam's the best thing ever. And I'm actually really happy with how this particular wig came out because I did this about an hour this morning and needed to be really choppy and all stylized in the back. Yay! So yeah, it's mostly just lots of little things now, wigging and accessories and yeah, life.
Adulting.
Yeah, lots of adulting. Unfortunate adulting.
So I ended up basically deciding to get rid of one of my costumes. I worked so hard on Irelia and I ended up starting to rush and I was making a lot of mistakes that I can't fix without starting over because they actually affect the foundation of the costume, the base parts of it. And I finally just got so sick and fed up with it, and I was so unhappy working on it that I'm probably going to get rid of it. So if I choose to start over on it at some point, I might. But for right now, I'm just basically shelving it. It's not something I'm working on at the moment. Sometimes these things happen, and it's not really said enough in the cosplay world that people have this expectation that you'll always succeed whenever you're making cosplay, or that you'll make a costume and you'll always be happy with it. That's not always the case, actually. There's quite a few times when cosplayers will make cosplay that they're really either not happy with, or they'll make a lot of mistakes on, and you'll end up wanting to start over. Sometimes you don't have that as an option right before the con. And so you basically have the choice where you can either keep going and hope you finish and you'll end up wearing a costume that you may or may not be 100% happy with, or you can just stop and work on something else that does make you happy. And so that's ultimately what I started doing, is because I knew for the con, I'm actually using this pattern right here by Butterick. It is 5182. Redo Pura's dress from last year, because I made it out of a knit that, one, was very, very clingy, not in a tailored way. And two, it was not cut to my body shape very well. It highlighted certain features of mine, namely my hips, that made me look very out of proportion. And so I promised myself that I would, one, get better fabric, and two, that I would tailor it better to my body shape. Because yes, there's always that choice when you're making cosplay between accuracy and making you look good. Because let's face it, the characters that we cosplay aren't always realistically drawn, to be nice about it. And some of those clothing pieces are not physically possible in the real world. Cloth just does not drape that way. Not to mention, most of the time these characters were cosplaying, they're exaggerated. They don't have the same features that some of us do, namely being busty. And because of that, I have to add seams to my fabric so that it accounts for the fact that I am busty. That detracts from its accuracy, but sometimes you have to make that choice between making it look good on you and being accurate to the character. Last year, I tried to be accurate to the character and it looked terrible on me. This year, I'm going to be more accurate to myself. And so I've been sitting here. I actually have the bodice done, so, you know, I can hold it up to myself with all my lovely little seams here. There, now you can see it.
Yay.
Halfway. Yeah, the bodice is done. You know, it's just waiting for its skirt pieces to be added, which I've already stitched the front together. It just needs top stitching and to be attached to this. And then I need to do the back pieces. Everything's already cut out. I just need to, like, do it. And it shouldn't take long. I've actually been marathoning Bleach and Magic Knight Rares in the background while I've been working on this. I finally got tired of Bleach. The anime cuts off at a certain point, whereas the manga kept going. So I stopped, and then now I've started season 2 of Magic Knight Rares. Like, okay, this is going to get me through the rest of the dress. Once the dress is done, I'm not working on any more cosplay between now and the con, because I'm also studying in real life for a $5,000 certification that has a deadline that is coming up, and I'm behind, so I really need to be studying more than I need to be working on cosplay. So I will be doing more of that, as well as packing, arranging snacks for the con, because I don't want to eat out for every meal and all that good stuff. Plus, you know, going through my packing list and making sure all my old cosplays still have all of their components too, because everybody has those con nightmares right before the con where you go, you arrive at the con, you go, you're going to have fun, and you have your costumes and you're missing the one most vital component of that costume, and then you can't wear it without looking completely out of sorts. So I have to make sure that my nightmares don't come true and that I have all my pieces, including wig caps, which are really important if you're wearing a wig.
It's surprising, of all the things that I forget, it's usually wig caps, but I have so much of it in backup or hidden in, like, some of my wig bags that it's like, I don't technically need to write it down. I have one, but I almost seem to forget about putting it on my list.
It's actually remarkably difficult to wear a wig without a wig cap, which I've had to do before, where I forgot my wig cap at one con. You can still tuck your hair underneath it, but it's a lot harder to hide your hairline. There's also nothing for the wig to attach to besides your scalp. And there's nothing to put pins in either. It's like, it makes it so much harder. Just have wig caps.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it's not so bad for me. Even though I consider it a curse, at least when it comes to wigs, it's a blessing because I have a very high forehead. So I don't really need the wig cap to hold back my hair. And I bun it up so much here that I can just stick the pins here and I'm good to go. So it's not terrible. It's not like the end of the world for me, but I know hygienically I'd rather have one.
That too. So those have been our cosplay updates. Hopefully everybody else's cosplay work is going well. We know that there are multiple conventions coming up, not to mention, oh my God, Dragon Con in a few months, among
We're
other
not
things, PAX
even going
East,
to think
all that
about
good stuff.
that. We're not going to think about that.
And of course, Infinicon is coming up, which there will be an announcement about shortly because I'm running their cosplay contest.
Yay.
I am getting there. Just Akon and work have really kept me busy
Right.
and unable to do Infinicon things. All right, so cosplay in the news, because oh my God, was cosplay in the news.
Like everywhere, get that popcorn ready because oh my God.
Yes, if you have popcorn, now would be the time to grab it, or some other sort of snacky type food. Please do grab it.
You will need it.
All right, so let's start with Santa Fe Comic Con.
Oh yes. So I want to make my one opinion about this before I become professional. They need to hire a social media manager. Badly. Okay, that's all.
Wow.
They really do. You can have your opinions, but there's a way of presenting them without sounding like giant dickwads. And I think that's PG-13 enough, so.
All right.
Professional time.
So, background on this story for those who have not seen it since it blew up on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I will preface this by saying that the Facebook comments in question, the Facebook posts in question, to the best of my knowledge, have been deleted. So you cannot go back and see these. They're only in archival form now.
But there are a ton of photos and screenshots of it all over the place. There's actually, as of yesterday, there was a Kotaku article about it on cosplay.kotaku. So you can
That's what
find
I'm
it.
looking at right now.
Yeah, you can find it all there. There you go.
So basically, Santa Fe Comic Con has been saying that they would like to focus on local talent for their cosplay guests. In other words, people who are in and around the Santa Fe area, as opposed to cosplayer guests that come in from out of town who are not in the Santa Fe area. So what they ended up doing is they made a Facebook post that made public a conversation that they had with one of these, let's say, potential out-of-town cosplayer guests who had basically solicited them and said, I would like to be a guest at your con. As cosplayers do, that's why a lot of cos-famous people have agents who will solicit saying they are available as a guest. Here are the things that they would like to ask for in exchange for being a guest, and negotiations go from there. When they posted this, I have a feeling they're paraphrasing this because no
Right.
cosplayer I know would actually say this.
Yeah, I'm
But
thinking that it's like a hypothetical conversation of something very similar that they've received in the past, and they're just kind of summarizing it.
it is, but the tone with which they wrote this was very snarky, and I will
Yeah.
read this to you. It says, Cosplayer, dear Santa Fe Comic Con, I'm a cosplayer from the Midwest with 20,000 likes on Facebook. Would you fly me out, put me in a hotel, and give me a table and per diem? And so their response is, sorry, we don't pay to bring on cosplayers. We'd like to develop our own local talent. And, you know, we'll give you a table if you will market us on your site and sell $2,000 worth of tickets for us. And this actually ends up being slightly related to a local Texas con as well that had a similar blow up where arrangements were made for a certain amount of tickets to be sold to a con based on talent, guests, and whatnot in general. And when said tickets did not show up, a person from that con was let go per an agreement that obviously we don't have the text of.
Right.
All of a sudden, the cosplay community blew up thinking, oh, well, they're picking on this cosplay person because, you know, there was money not exchanged in the background that was asked for in the first place. And it ended up getting all tangled. Basically, both sides were trying to put out their story and nobody was listening. So something similar apparently happened with Santa Fe Comic Con where, you know, they're like, can I have all this free stuff? I'm a cosplayer guest. I have 20,000 likes. Well, no, we want local talent. We want you to do all these things before we'll give you a table. It's like, come on, guys. I can understand if Santa Fe Comic Con obviously wanted to say no, because clearly they wanted to say no to this request. Maybe posting about it publicly on so with the sarcastic atmosphere that they did was not the best thing they could have done for their convention. And one of the more popular opinions on this was that, you know, cosplayers shouldn't be doing this because they're being greedy. They're buying likes on Facebook. They're basically trying to make themselves all cost famous by being models and showing skin. They need to be publicly shamed so that this behavior stops. So they're basically trying to stop this sort of thing by proxy. It's like, this probably, I mean, as a community, we've gone on a lot about public shaming in general, especially with body image. Public shaming in general is probably not the way you want to go about this.
No, it's probably the exact opposite way of you want to handle this type of situation.
And some of the answers to this too on their page, which is what made it, this is ultimately what made it worse, is that people called them out on it and basically said, not necessarily criticizing their decision, but criticizing the way in which they publicized it in this very public way with the sarcastic paraphrasing. And they called them out and said, you know, your tone is mocking. You shouldn't do this. Please reconsider posting things like this. And the con's response is, we'll miss you. We'd probably offend you another way, though, so maybe it's for the best. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a head desking moment, because it doesn't seem like people are against them with wanting to focus more on local talent. That is totally fine. That's the con's decision. It's a private company. They can do whatever the heck they want to. But the way that they addressed everything and the way that they're answering people is just nothing but sarcastic and mocking. And it's like, do you even care about your customer base? Because it's obvious that you don't. You just want to put on a show for yourself and have your own opinions. You're going to be out within a year or two if you keep up this type of attitude. That's just not how you properly approach people.
And they also ended up posting, they basically made it into an SJW, which, if you don't know what that stands for, it's Social Justice Warrior. They basically made it into, well, we want to support local cosplay versus paying oversexual models. It's like, wait, when did oversexual models ever come into this from the original post? It didn't. This whole weird tangent somewhere. And it just went downhill from there. And it basically just got worse and worse, because with these tangents, more people joined in with the commentary.
It didn't help that as it continued to go downhill, people started tagging popular cosplayers like Lightning Cosplay, Jessica Nigri, and Yaya Han, who's actually worked with the convention before. The owner of the convention owns two of them, and she worked with them on another one. And she even came out and said, you know, I was happy to come out. I paid my own way there. I was there as a guest. I hosted panels. I did all these things just to get a free ticket. You know, so I think that, you know, there is give and take, and there is a benefit to having a popular cosplay guest. You shouldn't dismiss all of them. And even his response to her was sarcastic. I was like, dude, you had her as a guest and you didn't even pay her. You can't do that. Oh, man.
Yeah,
they just dug a very, very deep hole for themselves, and they just kept getting worse. And I just kept chuckling at the number of people who kept saying, guys, hire a social media manager and fix this, because this is just not cool.
they ended up having professional people, like professional cosplayers and social media professionals, start getting involved. Basically, all of them saying, "You done messed up, dude."
Yep.
And it had nothing to do with the decision, which, if conventions want to focus on local talent, please do.
Yeah, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Go for it.
Absolutely nothing wrong. And in fact, I would encourage conventions to cultivate their local talent, because you can get some amazing cosplayers locally that you may not have even known about because they're not cos famous. But they're solid cosplayers who know their craft and are passionate about it and may be willing to teach a couple panels about it.
Exactly.
So that's perfectly fine. And I know Texas is a hotbed of local talent. And it actually saves the conventions money when they don't have to fly people out for local talent too, so that they can put that money into getting more guests. That's perfectly fine. We don't have a beef with that. The beef is with how they ch chose to portray their argument and then take that argument odd places that it hadn't gone in the beginning. And they basically made it a culture war.
An unnecessary culture war.
And they didn't handle the culture war very well.
No, they most certainly did not. And actually, we shared an article from Kamui Cosplay, who actually responded to all of this, and her take on the entire situation, how she started out. And she has a very interesting perspective about everything, how she's built herself up to get to the point where she's being asked internationally to come to conventions. But I think what was interesting is that one of the comments that we received, and something that I agree with too, is that she grew up when cosplay was still not like a big thing as it is now, where social media wasn't as rampant and as necessary in order to become a convention guest as a cosplayer. So with her focus is more on her skill, and she has an immense amount of knowledge and immense amount of history to go behind it. Now it's mostly about who has the most amount of audience to try to draw more people into our convention.
Because the convention itself, when they look at guests, one of the main criteria that they use is how much of a draw is this guest? How many ticket
Exactly.
sales can they bring in for us? How many people can they bring in for us? Because we want more people in our convention, especially if that convention is a for-profit. If it's a nonprofit, not quite as much. But still, they still want ticket sales. They still want bodies and people to come to the convention.
Exactly.
So I can understand that. At the same time, guests aren't just there to look pretty. And Kamui blogs about that. Usually, when you're cosplay guests, and I mean, we've both been guests, you are expected to contribute to the convention. You're not just there to look good. You are usually asked to teach panels, sometimes multiple panels. You're asked to often be a judge for the cosplay contest. And or other contests, if they have non-cosplay contests, sometimes they'll have celebrities judge that. You're asked to be available for interviews, for press. And you're also asked to be a face of the convention. So they'll ask you to basically market the convention or promote the convention on your own media and, potentially to do other things like photo ops and the like. You're basically part of the promotion of that convention. That's not fun and games, guys. It's hard work. Prepping panels alone is intense, especially if you do good panels. So it's not just show up at the con. No, you go there to work in exchange for whatever contractually the convention has offered to give you. Is it rude to ask for some things? That depends on who you are and who the convention is and what the community norm is. At this point, it's pretty safe to say that most conventions will give you a badge if you're a guest. Okay? So you'll have a badge for the weekend. Beyond that, it's up to the con if they want to offer you a vendor table or an artist table, if they want to offer you a hotel room. If they want to offer you a travel stipend, if they wish to offer you a per diem, for food and or other expenses, if they wish to offer you a guest fee. None of these things are standard at any convention that I know of. It depends entirely on the con. When we were guests, we weren't offered a travel stipend. We got a badge and we got a room. That was it. Oh, I'm sorry. We did get breakfast.
We got breakfast vouchers. Woo!
But we did not get it paid per diem. We did not get any travel expenses. We did not get any guesting fees. We didn't get any of that. And that was okay.
Yeah. I was totally okay with that.
I was perfectly cool with it. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
There you go.
So it's not just about what you get. It's not about the fame of being a cosplay guest, because we offered panels at that con. We judged the cosplay contest. You know, we were available for interviews. We went around, we had a table where we talked to guests. So you have to be prepared to work for it. You're welcome to ask for those things, but don't expect them, certainly. And at the same time, the con should not be mocking you publicly for asking for those things. Those should realistically be dealt with in private. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, they are in dire need of a social media manager. So very, very badly. So this question did come in. And unfortunately, for some reason, Google Hangouts kicked it. And I don't know why, but I typed it down. I don't know the person's name, so I apologize for this. Is it better to have 1 to 2 local guests or one big one? And I think that's going to depend on the convention. As Amber had mentioned before, if it's a nonprofit or a for-profit, but it's also going to depend on what the guests can offer. Because for me personally, I'm a panel person. I like to go to panels. I like to learn new things. I like to talk to the guests and learn more about their craft and their trade. And not all of the big name guests are willing to do that. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they are there just as models to sell their wares. Jessica Nigri is one of those people. She doesn't really teach panels. She doesn't really host contests. She's there to show off her wares and to interact with people. Where you have someone like Yaya Han, where she does teach. Sometimes she does judge. So it kind of goes back and forth. And so for me, I would much rather have the 1 to 2 local people who could bring a lot of content to a convention versus the one big name guest. Unless it's Jay Hart Design, because I still want to meet him and I would fangirl all over him.
Plus, you tend to have more variety. If you have, say, a handful of 5 cosplayers, I would wager you $20 that all 5 of those cosplayers do not have the exact same skills. So chances are, if you have, you know, between 1 and 3 local cosplayer guests, you're probably going to get a lot more variety of skills in panels than you would with simply one guest, because most of the time, a cosplayer isn't good at everything. They're not equally good at everything, certainly. And they'll choose 1 or 2 skills that they're good at that they want to teach. Well, if you only have 1 person, you're only going to get panels on those 1 or 2 skills. If you have 2 to 3 people, then that would be 4 to 6 panels. So I would rather have more choice in what I see. Plus, you would have more judges for your cosplay contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a lot better. It's really hard to judge nowadays, too, which this is actually our next topic, is cosplay fame and Facebook likes. It's really hard to tell who is necessarily cos-famous due to skill and who is cos-famous due to popularity on social media. Especially with the advent now of Facebook effectively monetizing likes, where you can pay for likes. You can pay for page views. You can pay to promote posts. So if you have those resources available to you, or if you have a large enough audience that can effectively replicate these things, aka like retweet, repost, that sort of thing, and spread the view a lot faster than a single person can, then you can get very popular very quickly. Or at least you can get the appearance of being very popular very quickly. And if you don't necessarily investigate how they got that way, then you can assume that, wow, this person must be really talented and really skilled. We should get them to our convention because it looks like they would be a big draw. I would caution conventions against that and make sure that you please do your research. for reasons of a gentleman whom we will not name, that you should really do your research when getting cosplay guests so that you're actually getting legitimate guests who have a legitimate background, who have legitimate skills that were earned legitimately, and not basically passing off someone else's identity as their own or tending to be more than what they can offer. Because cosplayers know. We know a fake when we see one. And you would doubly know when that person tried to teach their first panel if they couldn't do it. Because chances are, when you teach panels, guys, we've done this, chances are good there are at least two people in that room who are more skilled than you. They're not there to necessarily watch for the content. They're there to maybe get new ideas, new perspectives on things. Not necessarily to learn the technique, just to get different direction or to see how someone else's do it. So you're going to have other people judging you because they already know what they're doing. So keep that in mind. You can't fake your way through this stuff. Somebody will know.
Yeah. We have seen it all too often, unfortunately.
Which is partially why we did our show on how to properly present a panel.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Prepping is a very important step. But yeah, and I think not many people understand how social media works, that they don't realize that you can buy likes, you can buy fans and follows and retweets and all that. That they're still under the guise of, oh, well, they have 50,000 likes. They must be really, really popular. Let's go ahead and book them. Without knowing how to do the research behind it. And really, the basic research takes 15, 20 minutes tops. It's really easy to tell if somebody is paying for the advertisement, paying to get all those extra likes, or those who have actually genuinely earned the likes. Researching is such an important thing. And I think deep down the big issue is because it's not because that we want to be the people who are guests. So sometimes, yeah, that is the case. It's because we don't want to see people being glorified who don't have the skill to back up the fact that they have 50,000 likes, that they go out there and promote themselves as one thing, but they're really not. They don't know how to host a panel. They don't have any content to give to the convention other than being there and trying to make money off of it.
Yeah. And the other thing is that we don't want people to think that buying likes is going to somehow automatically get you into the running as a cosplay guest. It doesn't. It really doesn't, unless that convention is so desperate for guests that they'll just run across Facebook and start looking at cosplay feeds. So while you can buy likes, I mean, we're not necessarily criticizing the buying of likes. You can buy likes if you would prefer. You're welcome to do so. Just don't think that it automatically gets you into the upper echelons of cosplay just because you have 20,000 likes. And there are people who are out there, and I will not name names, but this is a thing, factually. A lot of cosplayers that show skin. And there are people who like their pages because they like looking at those people bearing their skin. Not because they are cosplayers. Because they were models in another life. So just because you have 20,000 likes doesn't mean you have 20,000 fans of cosplay who are following you. There are also botnets who will just randomly follow people from random countries around the world, random places.
I have a couple of those on my Instagram, and it's just like, why are you following me, random bot? I do not need you on my page. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I have multiple Twitter bots following me.
Yeah, it's so weird. You're like, okay, and?
It's like, I have nothing to do with this genre of Twitter account. But you're following me anyway? Okay.
Okay.
Sure. I will say we have not bought a single Facebook like.
No.
We've earned all of our likes.
We Yay.
All of our likes. And one of the things that I dislike, pun intended, about Facebook, especially with contests, is that a lot of times when people hold cosplay contests online or giveaways, they'll say, well, you have to like my page. Well, people are just going to like your page for the contest giveaway, and then they're promptly going to unlike it afterward. Well, that gives you a fake boost in likes. Not to mention those people are just being opportunistic. So that's one of the few things that I dislike about giveaways that mandate that you have to like the page. Because I know what they're getting at. They're wanting to increase the number of likes and audience on their page by doing a giveaway. Sometimes that's not the best way of doing it because it gives you a false sense of your followers because you get that boost, and then as soon as the contest is over, you kind of drop that by half. We've been there. We've done that. We know how this works.
Yeah, heck, I'm a social media manager by day, my job. So, I totally know how this works. I think also to kind of tie in with this, because we've been seeing a number of cosplay guests kind of appearing around the country where people are claiming, well, we don't know them. They're buying their likes, blah, blah, blah. There are ways of addressing your concerns and doing it in a polite fashion. And not be a dick about it. So don't go on their Facebook page and start criticizing the cosplayer because it's just going to end up turning against you. People are going to think, oh, you're just jealous because you didn't get invited as the guest or blah, blah, blah. You can take up your concerns with the convention. Write out a very well thought out email. Say, this is what my concerns are. This is what I think the issue is. Just don't be a dick about it on their Facebook page. Because the conventions are not going to listen and they're going to keep inviting these guests who probably didn't earn that spot. So that's just something else to kind of keep in mind too.
These last two, one of them I know about by proxy, Art of Wigs and Cosbox.
Yeah, I know a lot about this.
So apparently, in short, Art of Wigs and Cosbox back in the day, I would assume had signed some sort of mutual agreement where they would cross market
You are correct.
for each other. What that involved in particular, I don't think anybody knows except those two companies because contracts are not usually public information. However, something went around saying that, oh, there are cost boxes that are offering free art of wigs. Nobody can find proof of this
Yeah.
anywhere, and I've read all of the stories that are around for it. I can't see anything for it. Occasionally, I've seen, that you can get a certain discount amount, but that still requires you to buy a wig from Arda. $5 off your next purchase. Well, that's basically the equivalent of a gold macaroon from Arda. Still got to buy a wig. So Arda came out within the last week and sent out an email blast and a social media blast that basically disavowed the entire thing, saying, well, we never said that you could give away free wigs in the cost boxes. We never did that. This isn't our doing. No. It's like, but it never happened. And the whole thing, just, people were shaking their heads, going, lol, what?
Yeah, it was confusing. And it doesn't help that yesterday Arda issued like a half retraction through their emails. They didn't post anything on their social media. And it was like they vilified Cospox for a contract that was, it's all a big, giant mess. So this is what I can say because I'm one of those people who reviews the boxes. I'm not affiliated with the company other than that. I don't own the company. I know the girl who runs it, but that's about it. So in February, they had a wig box. And both Arda and Cosbox had a written agreement together. Both of them would promote some Arda products that were in the box, which in this case, there were some wefts, a couple of samples that were on their coloring. Funny enough, I used one of those colors that I didn't have to get this. Aha! As well as some hair gel and some dye. The rest of the stuff was just other products that they sourced from direct from the manufacturer. That was it. And they had a written contract for this. Those who got their special VIP box would get a wig, but it did not say that it was an Arda wig. It was just a wig. And some people unfortunately didn't get it. We don't really know why. It may have been a shipping issue, may have been a manufacturing issue, whatever the case may be. Something stupid happened somewhere. And so one person was having trouble trying to get a replacement wig and instead went to Arda and started claiming, this is what the advertisement said. It was supposed to be a free wig. And I think somebody at Arda probably had a knee-jerk reaction and created that first email because Cosbox didn't get responded to in regards to there being an issue or that customers were unhappy. So it was like stuff was snowballing out of effect because somebody made a quick decision to write out this email that seemed kind of unprofessional and just pinned everything on Cosbox. And it was like, but you guys had an agreement. Otherwise, there was that wig box that you even promoted on your site. Explain. That makes no sense. So yeah, it was just a misunderstanding that kind of blew way out of proportion. And now I think, unfortunately, Cosbox is kind of getting shucked with a lot of bad press when it really didn't need to be bad press. And yeah, I think whoever was running the emails that day at Arda probably should have taken a moment to talk with everybody else in the company before they decided to send out that message, because that was just a bad move all around. So yeah, that's the summary of the entire situation. Ever since then, Arda yesterday issued a half retraction, just kind of clarifying that yes, there was a box. Yes, they had a signed agreement. Yes, they purchased some items. Yes, the wig stated that it was not exactly an Arda wig, just a wig. So it cleared up some of the issues, but they probably should have also sent out an apology with that, saying, oops, our bad. We probably shouldn't have thrown you under the bus like that and disavowed all knowledge of you. That was a foobar.
It happens.
It happens, but you know, that's also why you have chain of command. That's why you don't immediately go with your gut reaction. Take time to research, because you never really know the whole story. Yeah.
So Anime St. Louis.
Yeah, this is the other big thing that popped up on my news feed this week. This is like so much popcorn and cracking open some alcohol or something, man. Drama everywhere. So the Anime St. Louis thing, there were a couple of cosplayers there that weekend who hosted some diversity panels. Talk about like 28 days of cosplay, of black cosplay and all that. And one of the vendors there who had been going there for quite a while decided that they don't want to attend any future Anime St. Louis events because they felt like the convention was spending too much time talking about diversity and trying to segregate cosplay instead of bringing cosplay together. That was essentially their argument. And needless to say, it went a little crazy and went overboard. One of the cosplayers who was there as a guest, Princess Mentality, spoke up, and she had a very eloquent post in response to it. So yeah, the diversity in cosplay issue has cropped up once more. This time, a vendor saying they won't return because they didn't like the fact that people were trying to segregate all these groups into cosplay when cosplay should be one institution. And it's like, okay, I can understand where they're coming from. I get it. But at the same time, you know, diversity is gonna happen. Diversity is a thing. And it's okay to have panels that are about the 28 days of black cosplay. It's okay to talk about, you know, Hispanic cosplayers or Muslim cosplayers. It's okay to talk about these things. We're not saying that they're trying to segregate themselves. That is not at all what's going on. So, yeah. Vendor got his panties in a wad.
It happens.
It was just like, really? Do we need more of this drama this week? What are we doing?
Yes.
Why are we doing this?
We have a daily allotment of drama that we must fill. It's like protein.
Right. Apparently it's never enough because there's always something new going on in cosplay that caused drama. It's all over the place.
It is.
Oh my goodness.
Now I want to call this episode Deboxel.
Wow. You can. But
no, because it's not a debacle. Just we are talking about debacle.
We are. Silly debacles, no less. Oh. Dramu.
All right, so that is the end of our drama fest, which has taken nearly an hour.
It really has, and clearly my dog is tired of it too. But I figured that it would be, because as much as it sucks to talk about the drama, this is part of the cosplay news. And I think in order for us to move on and to get past all these things and to actually become a community again, We need to talk about it, get it out of our system, and then we can just move forward. It's done, so let's ignore it. Keep going.
Again.
Yeah.
All right. Project Akon.
Yay! I think. I can't tell anymore. I'm tired.
All right. So Project Akon is basically running Thursday through Sunday. That is June 2nd through June 5th. Because they do have actual content on Thursday now. It's not just the Masquerade Ball.
But it's still only a three-day con. That is just day zero.
Yes, they are still calling it a three-day con, even though it's totally now a four-day con.
Don't tell staff that.
Hey, they move in the Monday of that week to start setting things up. So for them, it's like a week-long con, maybe yeah, two.
It really is.
So there.
So there.
All right. All right. So basically, we are going to go over what panels we are most excited about filming, what guests we are most excited to see, and what things we are excited about doing. Disclaimer, none of it is going to involve the sculpture garden because construction is not done. Sadly. So unfortunately, water park is not done. Therefore, sculpture garden is closed. Pool's closed, kids.
There ain't no pool.
Not for us this year. They are opening it July 4th, though. So other people will get a chance to see it.
Woo!
Just not us.
I'm not a pool person anyway, so no biggie.
So that in mind, it's probably easiest if we go in order, which is starting on Thursday. Thursday, most of the guests, to my knowledge, have not even arrived yet. So we won't be doing too much on Thursday. There actually aren't any cosplay panels on Thursday, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
We just want to show up to our room and crash. That's pretty much going to be the gist of it.
Because Val has staff duties, and I'll be going to get our press stuff. I will be at the ribbon cutting ceremony for the Konbuki room because I named it. And then Masquerade Ball, we will be taking photographs. And that is pretty much our Thursday.
Yep, that's about the gist of it.
Plus, bear in mind that Val and I have to work the day before, full shifts.
So. Oh, I got to work the day of, so I don't even have a choice in that matter.
So there you go. So Thursday will kind of be somewhat of a calm before the storm kind of day. All right, so Friday, guests have arrived. We actually have stuff.
There's a lot of stuff going on Friday. It's going to be very, very panel heavy, which is good because it's a lot of new content, too, that we haven't seen. That means new content for you guys that we get to put up on our YouTube, so that'll be good.
It's a very almost academic. Sorry, I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit.
No losing your voice yet. You still got a couple minutes.
Yeah, I know. Well, I still got several minutes. This is a more academic kind of con. There's a lot more panels that are more talky-talky about the philosophical ramifications of things like cosplay, mythology, literature, fandom.
Hi.
So it's a little bit less with the demos and the showing and a little bit more with the chatting and teaching. So there's a lot more of that this year. There's also a lot more panels in general, and they run earlier in the morning until much later in the evening. Part of that is because we won't have the water park area, so it gives people more to do. And just expanding audience. That's also a part of it. So the reason I bring these things up is that Akon has a Lolita track this year, and we wanted to try and cover some of that for you guys. So one of the first things we'll be covering on Friday is actually one of their basic Lolita fashion panels. And that should be pretty Interesting.
Yeah, we don't really have a whole lot of Lolita content, and we know that that's a growing fandom, especially in the cosplay community. I know people are like, but that's fashion, that's not cosplay. Some people do consider that cosplay because they cosplay as their favorite Lolita fashion characters. So it goes both ways.
They also use a lot of skills that are common to costuming. Just with more frills.
More frills and more petticoats.
Everywhere. Frills
Everywhere.
everywhere.
So many frills and petticoats. That sounded a little demonic. I'm sorry.
Right, so for other panels. One of their guests is Elfie, who is a Finnish cosplayer from, as the Brits would say. He's got a few panels that focus on international cosplay and Menin cosplay. So his Menin cosplay panel is on Friday, and we are looking at covering that for our male audience members, because we know that men aren't covered as much in cosplay as women are. And there's also a panel on how to write a winning skit by Take One Productions. Take One Productions is an improv comedy group who is very talented, but they are kind of branching out this year and covering how to write cosplay skits. And for those who don't know, cosplay skits can really either lose you or win you the adoration of the audience at ACON, at the cosplay contest.
Very much so.
Usually, at least one of the top awards is given to a skit.
Oh,
And
easily.
it's not audience favorite. It's one of the ranked awards that skits win. And it's because skits tend to be very popular. Also on Friday, we are going to make sure we take breaks this con to make sure that we hydrate, we get enough food, we rest. We're not going to blow ourselves out this con.
You say that now. I got two panels to host on Friday.
So while Val is hosting one of her panels, I will be covering one of our acquaintances' panel, Brian, Photography and Posing 101, which is supposed to be a really solid panel. I know we've covered posing to an extent, but mostly dealing with cosplay contests. Not so this will be kind of a slightly different angle on that. See what else on Friday? I know Friday you have your second one in the evening.
That I does. That I does.
And we've also got fabric painting and dyeing that we're potentially going to cover by our friends CC and Kat-Chan. And then they've also got sewing your own Lolita clothing, which again, they do borrow some techniques, but there are also some techniques that are particular to Lolita fashion in general. So we wanted to cover that for you guys as well. Sadly, with being adults and working adults, we tend to go to bed somewhat early on a normal basis. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge to stay up late for the con just because we're so built in at having to go to bed at a certain hour. They do have one late panel, which late for us, I'm making air quotes.
Yeah, lots of air quotes on that one because we are definitely old farts in this situation.
Yes, is Armor and Props 101 with Arta Wiggs. That will be taught by EX Shadow.
Who does very awesome armor and very awesome props.
Yes, that one doesn't start until 10:15,
Yeah,
which for us is late
that's
because
late.
we're usually in bed before that point.
Which I know sounds ridiculous, but you guys don't understand. Like, Amber works 10
We
hour
have early
shifts.
shift. Yeah, we have
Yeah.
early shifts and 10-hour shifts. So I have to go to bed by 9 o'clock every night.
It sucks, but that's part of the deal. You know, it is what it is. But it's really hard. And
Adulting.
yeah, it's adulting. If you've ever traveled, you know how difficult it is to get yourself acclimated to a time zone change, even for 2 days. It's the same thing with a convention because we know Monday hits and we have to be right back into work mode. So our body just kind of attunes to our work schedule.
Plus, even whenever you go on vacation, if you're sleeping in a different bed, it can be really hard to fall asleep.
God, yes. Ain't that the truth?
It's just the nature of traveling. And so to work with it. So if we can make it, we will film that panel. I can't promise that we'll be able to film anything, especially if it's after 10, just because we're already not only used to going to bed, but to have been at a convention on our feet for 8, 10 hours, 12 hours a day, we're going to be exhausted.
I think doubly so in my case, because I will be teaching two of my video game theory panels, and that requires lots and lots of talking and lots of open discussion. That tends to tax my brain quite a bit, so I know I will be tired. But I'm actually looking forward to those panels, because one of them is an update to a panel that I got a really big response from last year. And the other one is my Rockstar Games panel, which is 18 plus. I'm still surprised that they accepted it, but I'm so glad that they did.
There's actually quite a bit of adult programming this year. And when I say adult, I mean 18 plus. That is... After hours, which for ACON is 8 p.m. and later. So if you're looking for that sort of content, there is plenty of it this year.
And I noticed, too, that it's not all about, like, you know, hentai and yuri and yaoi and all that type of stuff. It's actually, some of it is, like, academic content. Some of it is adult discussions for adult groups. So it's not like it's all about pornographic material, because that's what people assume, especially at anime conventions, that that's all it's going to be about. And it's like, no, that's... That's far from it, guys. We promise.
If you want your hentai content, they've got that too.
Oh, yeah. It's there. I'm not saying it ain't there, because it's there.
No. Hentai Fest has not come back, nor will it.
Nor will it. No.
There are panels about it.
Yes.
So that said, we're going to try and get a good rest on Friday, because I know you will have worked Thursday. I will be doing probably the bulk of the filming on Friday, since you've got your panels. We're both going to be tired.
We're going to be very, very tired.
So, moving on to Saturday is, of course, the big day of the con. This is when they have most of their content, because people generally don't have to work on this day. They start bright and early. However, we actually don't have any cosplay panels to film until 11:30. Which is the Lolita and J Fashion Runway show. We wanted to bring photography of that, if nothing else, to you guys so that you can see.
Yeah, because this is definitely a first timer for ACON too. So for us, this is kind of a cool opportunity to actually dive into it and be the first ones out there. So it's kind of nice.
Now, I want to give a little bit of a disclaimer on this, and that's that I know that there are a lot of cosplay panels we are not naming. Yes, there are a ton of other cosplay panels that are going on. However, we're being a little bit picky choosy, because some of these topics we've covered in large part in the past already, many times over, multiple episodes for some of them. And some of the others we just don't feel would be as good of a value, especially if we have two panels on top of each other. We're going to choose the one that we think offers you guys the best value. Yes, that's subjective, but at the same time, we've been around the block a few times. We have a pretty good idea of what we haven't covered yet.
Especially when it comes to ACON panels. So we kind of already know the stuff that's out there or the stuff that we've already recorded. So we're like, okay, we can overlook this one, but we can go ahead and do this one instead. Because our whole thing is that we want to make sure we get new content for you guys. I know that's been like a big push of ours, especially this year, because stuff gets stale after a while. We can only do so many cosplay 101s or beginner panels. We know you guys have been clamoring for more advanced panels, so we want to try to get that content to you.
So if we can attend it, we will try. I can't promise that panels don't get moved, panels don't get canceled, whatever, and we can't do it. We'll try. So there is basically a giant skip. At 1:30 and 3 o'clock, there are a pair of leather panels by Tandy Leather. Yes, Tandy is actually a presenting guest this year. And they've got a wet molding leather class that is both masks and armor. And then advanced leather coloring techniques. And if anybody knows something about coloring leather, it's probably Tandy.
I would hope so.
So we're going to try and bring both of those to you guys. I believe they are demo only. It's not something where it's a workshop and you take home a piece. Prior to the wet molding for leather masks and armor, they actually do have a workshop, which is make your own hero leather accessory. That is for kids. That's not for adults, guys. Don't go if you're in your 20s and expect to take home something. It's not for you. It's for the kids.
Which kind of sucks because we would totally do that.
I know. And
We're
it's
just,
free.
we're big kids, you know.
But they'll have you make a little something at the workshop and you get to take it home with you for
Exactly.
free. So yeah. After the leather panels, we have thankfully one more panel before we get a break, which is the Beginner's Guide to Lolita Makeup. Again, we're doing a lot of coverage of the Lolita track because that's not something we have a lot of, and we think it would prove interesting for you guys. And some of the makeup techniques in Lolita can prove useful for other disciplines in cosplay as well.
Oh yeah, especially when you do a lot of magical girl stuff, it easily translates over into Lolita fashion. So that's kind of a good basic set to have.
And it's for men and women, incidentally, because men can use makeup. And actually, in some opinions, men should use makeup
Guys,
because it's
makeup is not for chicks
just as
only.
applicable.
Yeah, we promise makeup is for everybody.
It's not just to make you look girly. Makeup is also used to hide imperfections, to smooth out the skin, to eliminate shine. There are many reasons why you would want to, and you can also highlight certain features. You can actually sculpt your nose and your cheekbones by using shading. There's all sorts of things you can do with makeup that aren't just applicable to women.
Makeup is awesome.
Photographers will thank you.
Oh God, yes they will. We will love you to death if you put makeup on.
And I will say this, there is no shame in you asking a girl to help you. If you don't know how to use makeup, if you have no idea what to get, if you don't know where to start, or once you do purchase it, how to apply it, please do ask. We want you to ask, and we are more than a mocking way.
If anyone mocks you, we'll come up to them
We'll smack them.
and yeah, there you go. We'll punch them in the face or something.
I'll just smack them.
Makeup is an amazing, amazing tool, and I don't think most people realize it.
All right. Once we have covered the makeup panel for Lolita, there is a short break, thankfully, because we would like to eat food.
Oh, we would? I didn't know about this.
Yes, we would like to eat food.
No one told me of this.
Because basically, at 7 o'clock, we will have to go into the Chantilly Ballroom for the cosplay contest so that we
Yay.
can get a good seat in the press pit, set up our gear, test our gear, and make sure all is well before they actually start at 8 o'clock.
I'm hoping this year, if they keep the same setup of judging that they did last year, which was actually a really good setup, I'm going to finally move my butt to the other side of the stage so we can actually get a different perspective of photos because we keep getting the same spot every year. I'm kind of sick of it.
I know.
That was me playing an oops last year because I thought that Kyle would be in the way for the photos, and I was like, oh, I'm a dummy. I should have sat over there. Whoops.
Indeed. And basically, that's the end of our night.
Yay! Yeah, Saturday's kind of light, but it'll be a good day for people watching and to go to a bunch of the cosplay photo shoots. That's something that I want to really try and get this year is to get more of the in-action cosplay activity.
And it's also good for taking photos of cosplayers because Saturday is the most popular day for cosplay.
That certainly is.
Yeah, we'll both be having the cameras out at that point. I know my point and shoot isn't great. I will be upgrading it, just not before the con, but I'll do my best.
And I will have my very shiny DSLR.
There is a Kimono 201 panel after the cosplay contest. Like I said, if we're awake enough, we will film it for you guys. But again, after 2 full days at con, we're going to be exhausted and still programmed to go to bed at 9 o'clock, which
Adulting.
is in the middle of the cosplay contest.
Which is so dumb. Yeah, usually, even last year, before I was fully set to my new schedule, like I was like 10:30 hit, and I was like, "I'm tired. Can we go? Are we done?"
And we're not participating in the cosplay contest this year.
Fudge no.
Which is a good 5-hour commitment.
Oh God, it's longer than that.
And I mean 5 hours straight. There are other times, but I mean 5 hours straight.
Yeah.
So we're going to be exhausted, and that's even without doing the cosplay contest where you're basically stuck in a costume for 5 hours. Unable to do much.
Yeah, I'm good. I like sticking to my 2-hour limit. My 2-hour rule has been very, very, very fruitful and eventful these past years.
I do have one criticism against the scheduling, and I know it's not programming's fault necessarily, particularly because I don't think this was purposeful. Scheduling cosplay combat against the cosplay contest,
yeah,
may not have been a good idea.
Yeah, no, they're going to see a very low attendance because of that, and that kind of sucks.
Before or after would have been better. I know it's already starting late, but it can be really hard to choose between going to the cosplay contest and doing cosplay combat.
And cosplay combat can be really, really fun. I know the guy who runs it, he always does a great job. So it's like, oh, this kind of sucks.
And it's always hilarious. It's like cosplay chess. You just go to watch.
And it's usually really entertaining.
Yes. It's one of the things I enjoy filming the most because it's very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
There are other events going on during the evening that I would like to stop by because I know on Friday night, I think it's Friday night, when they have the clockwork, or is that Saturday?
I have no idea anymore. The thing is that this year AKON has so many things going on at the same time that I'm just getting all of it like running together. Like I have no idea.
it is Friday, and I if I have time, I'll stop by this. But Friday they actually have a steampunk ball. It's called Clockwork Wonderland, and I do want to stop by and take photos of it if I can manage it. But on Saturday, at the same time as the cosplay contest, they've also got a Victorian social, which is a tea social, and they've got the Goblin Market with Sky Dogs, which is a steampunk dark fantasy market. Both of those sound really interesting to me. Not something I would willingly do normally by myself, but I would love to go in and take photos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, they scheduled it against the cosplay contest. So if I can manage to take pictures, I know the Victorian social generally requires tickets, purchase tickets, so I may not be able to get into that one, even as press. But I will try if I can to get into the Goblin Market. And that's basically the end of Saturday. That's all we have time for, folks.
It's very, very helpful, needless to say.
And of course, they are doing, you know, the usual dance that they do every year. It's a dance, not a rave, people.
Sure, it's a dance.
They're not helping.
I know. I never help.
And they're doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show simulcast as usual. All right, Sunday. Once we've collapsed from everything else at the con,
right,
for the previous 3 days. So Sunday is very light. In fact, Sunday is very light on panels in general. My guess is that they lose a lot of the rooms at certain times. So basically, we have one panel that we are filming on Sunday.
Woot.
That is scheduled. And that's the advanced wig styling with Arda. Yes, Arda is actually a presenting guest this year. That's the only thing that we actually have aside from, you know, obviously your academic panel, but that's already being filmed. So this is outside of that. That's all we got. That's the end of AKON at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday.
I'm kind of bummed that a lot of the panels that I want to see are scheduled at the exact same time as my panels that I'm presenting. So I'm like, well, fudge.
I may go to the charity banquet that morning just as a treat to myself because, I mean, after last year's ACON, which really kind of doesn't exist in my mind for obvious reasons. But it's like this happens once a year. I don't get to hang out with people and socialize and just take pictures. So I would really enjoy going to the charity banquet
Yeah,
and
I
just
say go
having a
for
really good meal on a Sunday morning and relax
it.
and get to talk to some celebrities.
'Cause why not?
Because there really isn't anything else going on that morning. I personally may go to the morning bending with Toph, which is a yoga class, which might be good on Sunday after we're exhausted. Because basically, after 1:30, we basically go home. Because we've already checked out of the hotel at that point. There really isn't much else going on after 1:30 that's cosplay related. Because after that, staff is winding down, dealer stand's winding down, artist alley's winding down, guests are already leaving and going home. Staff are trying to take stock of, the good and the bad that happened over the con and figure out what they can do better. All that sort of thing. Just administrative stuff is going on after 1:30. So there's no point in us staying. And then we come home and collapse. Yay!
Yay!
And then we film an episode for you guys doing the review.
And I sit there and try to get all the title cards and stuff done for all the panels and then make angry faces at my computer for about 2 weeks. And then sort through
Weeks.
the thousands of photos.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's the one that sucks the most. Last year it wasn't as bad. The year before that's when I had like 2,000 plus images, and it was like, oh, what did I do? This was a bad idea. Most of those images you'll probably now see in this year's guidebook.
This year, I'm going to probably take my tripod with me and use it like a monopod.
Please.
Well, in other words, I won't just use it for filming, but when I go around and take
Oh.
pictures, I'll just keep all the legs collapsed
Gotcha.
so that
Okay.
I can just lean it as a monopod so that I can take better pictures
I
with my
gotcha.
first shoot. Yeah, no, I'm bringing that. And, if I need to, if there are nighttime photo shoots, I do have a video lighting kit that I can use to actually get light, decent light, diffuse light for photography for those who do the photo shoots later in the evening that are outside. Because, yes, there actually are places outside where you guys can do photo shoots. The hotel has allowed us to, designate certain areas that are alternate locations for those who had originally planned to do them in the courtyard, which is unfortunately no longer available to us this year. So there are a ton of places indoors that have been designated. There are a few places outdoors. Make sure that you have some nice photos taken. One thing that I know doesn't get said enough, if you don't get your photo taken at a con, don't freak out. It's not a terrible, horrible, very bad thing. It doesn't mean nobody liked your costume. And you also can't depend on getting a good quality photo at a con. Yes, there are professional photographers that attend who do take good photos. But unless you happen upon one of those people or you schedule a photo shoot with them, you're not necessarily going to get those good quality photos. So if you're looking for good, solid, consistent portfolio quality shots, I wouldn't depend on the convention. Schedule a photo shoot outside of the convention. Not only can you choose your location better that way, but you can also make sure that you get that quality time with the photographer. We've done shows on doing photo shoots before. Just don't go in with the notion at the con that you're suddenly just going to get a bunch of good quality photos taken. I wouldn't necessarily go in with that expectation.
It is also a giant pain in the tush to try to find those photos after the convention, even if you have the photographer's information. Because, heck, this has actually happened to me I want to say A Fest. No, this was A Fest. This was A Fest maybe 5 years ago. And it wasn't until last year the guy posted the photography from that convention. And I found a photo of myself. And I'm like, wow, that costume looks like crap. But I probably thought it was awesome 5 years ago. Like, so just don't depend on the quality of the image, even though camera phones are getting better and whatnot. The quality may not be so great. And it's up to the person who has that photo if they want to post it or not. They may just keep it on their phone. They may keep it on their camera. They may never upload it. It may be in a private album on Facebook that you cannot see. So, stuff to keep in mind.
Or you can do what I did up until as recently as 3 years ago and look through the 200 photo albums that get posted on the Akon page looking for your two photos, when each album probably has a good 50 to 200 photos a piece. And you sit there scrolling through hour after hour, all these different albums. And then you have to look every hour or so because then they update the list. And those albums themselves update too. So it's like, if you want the photos of your costume, go schedule a photo shoot. Don't look through 200 albums worth of 200 photos each.
Save yourself the
Yes, please do.
because we've been there. We've done it. We know.
Yes. We have done it many years in a row.
Because that was really the only outlet. I mean, cosplay photography was still a new thing for a while until now it's kind of commonplace.
As I have noted in making the photographer list for this year.
Oh God, yeah, there's how big is that list now? I have no earthly idea. I haven't seen it in a while.
I think it's 5 pages long.
Wow, dang. That's
And
huge.
that's not all of them, because I've seen people post on Facebook that they're doing photography that are not on my list.
Yeah. Oh, I see cosplay groups forming who are still not scheduled, and all I can
Very
tell
last minute.
them. Oh yeah, very last minute, and I keep giving them the or like there are some that I keep giving them the information, and they refuse to sign up. And the only thing I'm telling them is, look, if you try to take over a spot that's been scheduled, staff will tell you to leave, and we don't have a whole lot of spots this year, so you're a loss if you choose not to do it. I will guilt trip them into it. And if they don't do it, then they are going to get screwed. It's
Wow.
very tired Val who has been working on the unofficial photo stuff for way longer than necessary this year because of all of the issues. It's been a rough year for this.
I bet.
It's been really rough.
It's been rough in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it has.
And I'm not even staff this year.
No.
Not officially, anyway. I'm a glorified volunteer. It's
the
okay.
joys. The joys of conventions.
Yep. So that is basically our Akon preview for this year. I know it's not terribly detailed, but again, this is based on the information we have currently, which is subject to change, of course, as cons. So we have less than 2 weeks now to prepare for the big event. And of course, this will be releasing prior to us going to con, which will be next week. That's 1 week prior to con, so that you too can get the lowdown on where we will be at Akon. You will probably see us floating around in costume with our cams. We will be press. We will be doing interviews with as many of the cosplay guests as we can get our hands on, given scheduling. And we will be filming the cosplay contest. So you guys can look forward to seeing those and all of the panels that we can get our hands on our YouTube channel. The web
Huzzah!
Yes, the website will also list when those are ready. And our Facebook page and everywhere else.
Exactly. And I think what I'll probably end up doing is the same thing I did last year since we had issues with YouTube and copywriting of music. More than likely, the cosplay contest may end up on our Facebook page, not necessarily our YouTube page. It'll just have to depend on if YouTube decides that they want to copyright all the music or not. Unfortunately.
It can also be embedded on our website.
Yep. So it will be available in multiple locations, maybe not YouTube, unfortunately.
Yep. We will do our best, and of course, you guys will see it as soon as we have it up. I can't promise that it will be up soon after the con. You know, I can't say
God,
a
no.
week.
No.
So, you know, we will not be making deadlines on that account. It's able to recover, especially with day jobs and me having a major certification coming up within a month. It's whenever we get to it, guys.
Yeah, because the second that I get back from work, my project manager will be leaving on a 2-week vacation. So it's going to be a madhouse at my job. So much to look forward to.
Anything else?
I think that's all I got. I'm just having fun making green stuff happen. That
This is a 90-minute episode.
is totally okay. We have those on occasion. We did it on the last one.
Indeed. And for that reason, we will probably not have an after session this time, guys.
Which is totally okay. We got a lot of content in this one, and it was worth it.
Yep. So you guys will not hear from us live before then. So otherwise, we hope to see many of you at Project Akon here in about 2 weeks. For the rest of you, we will see you guys next episode in 117 with our Project Akon review. You can contact us on all of our social media, which of course you can see on the screen.
Right there and there.
And of
Okay.
course, if you guys have convention plans, photos, or any coverage that you would like to share with our audience, please send it to us, podcast@cospod.org. See you guys next time. Happy cosplaying.
Bye, guys.